Amen. Thank God for Jesus. He's a wonderful Savior. Amen. I enjoyed that. Thank you guys for singing that song, guys and girls. Amen. That was a great blessing. All right, we're going to finish the Sermon on the Mount tonight, Lord willing. I do believe we will. I do want to share with you a couple things real quick by way of introduction. My wife said something, Pastor, when you mentioned about Father's Day, and it's a shame. She leaned over and whispered to me that, they make fun of how I say it, but Halloween, right, is more celebrated in our country than Father's Day. What a sad shape our country's in, that a holiday is wicked. I shouldn't even call it a holiday. That a time, an event on the calendar as wicked as Halloween and all that it stands for is more celebrated than a day to recognize the fathers in our country. It is a testament to where we are as a nation. It's sad. Brother Greg sent me something this week, and you stay out of my preaching. She just texted me and said that it's actually more celebrated than Christmas, that it's past Christmas. She'll be in the middle of my message. Y'all see me look down. It's her, you know, giving me another point to preach. But I'm going to be good to go. That's right. Brother Greg texted me this week in his devotional time. And he gave me a verse of scripture. He said he wrote it, he read it, and he thought about me. And so I now y'all can't say a word. I know some of you a couple weeks ago were thinking that I was out of line, maybe a little bit out of place with my how. But this is what Joel 1:13 says. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Listen to this. How? H-O-W-L. In case you can't understand, Greene County. How? Ye ministers, I lost my place. How, ye ministers of the altar, come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholding from the house of your God. So the Bible says that the ministers are to howl, okay? And so I was in the Bible, all right? So I didn't even know it, and I was being led by the Spirit, right? And so that's my goal, is to be led by the Spirit. So how many of you had a peach milkshake this past week? Raise your hand. Look at this, Melissa. Look at this. I got so many text messages this week. I'm going to tell on it. Greg Banks drank a peach milkshake every day this week. And I think twice on one of them. Julie's back here like, I'm sorry, Brother Greg. I told him, I said, Brother Greg, I'm going to call your cardiologist. He said, man, it's fruit. It's good for you. That's what I'm talking about. Tell the doctor I'm on a fruit diet, right? Peach milkshakes. But I did. I can't tell you how many text messages. I got one message and somebody sent me a picture of a peach milkshake in their hand and said, Alicia's behind me in the drive-thru line. And so I'm telling you right now, I put a plug in. Melissa tried to send me a milkshake, I think, through the app. And I don't have the app. And so, but that's okay. That's all right. If you didn't try a peach milkshake, you need to get you one. They're good. I got me one this week. My wife and I got a peach milkshake. And so, who was it? I'm going to get into the preaching. Man. Who's first time drinking a peach milkshake? Raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, a couple first timers. All right. I hope you liked it. Wesley liked it. He texted me and said he liked the peach milkshake. If you didn't, I'm sorry. Might not be saved, but I'm sorry. No, I'm just playing. Pastor Brandon, did you try it again? No, he's not even going to try it again. He tried it one time and said it tastes like his grandma's soap or something, and he wasn't going to drink it no more. Well, how you know what your grandma's soap tastes like? I already know. Never mind. If you know what grandma's soap tastes like, we know how that happened, right? So, peach milkshakes. There you go. Thank God for a peach milkshake. All right, we got to move on. I will say this about that peach milkshake. You got to be careful now. If you get one of them peaches stuck in the straw, man, that thing will, I mean, your jaws will be sore trying to suck that little peach through the straw. They got to get bigger straws, Melissa. Tell them they need bigger straws or smaller peaches, one or the other. But, okay, we're going to get into the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to finish out the message tonight on the Sermon on the Mount. We're in chapter number 7.
in verse number 24. And I believe that this is the conclusion of the sermon. Now, there's a lot of different ways in which that you could approach these verses of Scripture. These are some of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the New Testament. There's been songs written about this section of Scripture. There's been many sermons preached. You could preach a series alone on, and some people have, on just this section of Scripture. And so I'm kind of saying that by way of introduction, so you understand. I don't even intend to barely skim the surface of all that's in these verses of Scripture. I just want to give you a couple things in way of closing out the Sermon on the Mount. So the first thing I want to look at tonight is the conclusion, because I believe that's what this is. I believe that Jesus is finally concluding the message that he's been preaching, the Sermon on the Mount. And verse number 24 kind of is where I get that from. The first word says, therefore. Therefore. I believe it was Pastor Brandon Wednesday night that mentioned when you see therefore, you need to see what it's there for. And I mentioned that even in the Sermon on the Mount when we looked at verse number 12, what is known as the golden rule. Jesus said, therefore, all things, right? But now in verse number 24, he makes this final therefore statement. And I believe it's as if Jesus is saying, because of all that I have said. Now, I do believe that it could be he's saying just what I just said, okay? Now, some folks that think that this therefore is talking about everything in the Sermon on the Mount. And some folks think it's just talking about what started in verse number 13, where Jesus started those comparisons of the twos, and he talked about entering in at the straight gate. He said, therefore, because there is a straight gate, because there is a narrow way, right? He said, therefore. He said, therefore, because there are false prophets, and we looked at that a couple weeks ago. Therefore, because there are false professions, is what we looked at last week. Therefore, Jesus says, I want to give you an illustration to kind of close out that thought. Now, I don't think you're doing any harm by saying that therefore is talking about the entire sermon, or whether it's talking about the last couple verses that we've looked at, because I think they're all connected. And I'm convinced of that. I believe the Sermon on the Mount, I'm thankful for God's Word. It's a living book. And God's Word, you can draw so much truth from God's Word that we could preach, and others have even preached longer, 30-some messages out of the Sermon on the Mount. And as I said, many could preach even longer out of the Sermon on the Mount. And so you can draw many truths from it, but in the context of it, I believe it's all one running thought. And I've tried to present that to you, and again tonight, I'll try to close out with that. And so I do believe that Jesus is concluding the sermon, and he's going to sum it all up for us in these couple verses of Scripture. He's going to bring it to a close here in these couple verses of Scripture. So we see, number one, the conclusion by the therefore. Number two, I want to look at this. I want to look at the comparison that Jesus gives us in verses 24 down through verse number 27. A comparison is something that is alike, right? Something that is similar to one another. And Jesus gives us some comparisons here. And I think it's very interesting that he does that. And it applies to the entire sermon that he's been preaching. And so let's look at a couple of the comparisons that he gives us. The first comparison I believe he gives us is their house. Look at it in verse number 25. The Bible says this, verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, look at it, which built his house. So we have a house. And then in verse number 26, it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house. So we've got two houses. You see it? The house that the wise man built, and the house that the foolish man built. And so there are two houses, and there's some debate about what exactly the house is. I don't think there's much debate here, but I do think it's interesting. The word house is used many times in the Scripture, and I don't think that somebody would be doing any harm to the Scriptures to preach it this way. That's why I said you could preach a series of messages out of these verses of Scripture. Possibly you've heard a message on the home out of these verses of Scripture. It's Father's Day. I could have preached a Father's Day message out of these verses of Scripture talking about our house, right? When you think of a house, don't you think of family? I don't know about you, but the Bible, I looked up some verses of Scripture, and it constantly talks about the house of Jacob, the house of Abraham. It talks about in Genesis, I wrote down a verse of Scripture, it says that Noah went into the ark and all of, he said, Noah, go into the ark and all of thy house. What do you think God was talking about when he told Noah, Noah, go into the ark and all of thy house? He was talking about his family. He was saying, Noah, get your family and go into the house. And so no doubt we could look at this verse of Scripture tonight, and I believe without getting really too far outside of the bounds of the Scripture, out of the context, and we could talk about the family and how that we're to build our family, our house, upon something. And how that there's two different types of houses. There's two types of different types of families. And those families can be very similar, right? Or you could even say not just a family. You could talk about a nation. I thought about it when I was just talking about the shape that our nation's in. You know, the Bible talks about, oh, house of Israel. It's talking about the entire nation when it talks about the house of Israel. And so we could talk tonight about building our house, our nation, upon the Word of God, upon the solid rock, upon the foundation. And we're going—I don't want to get ahead of myself—but this house could represent our families. This house could represent our nation, because in the Bible, the house is the nation is called a house. And so there's many different approaches that we could take to this. It could represent our families. It could represent our nation. It could represent our church. What is the church called in the Bible? The household of faith. It's even referenced a couple times as the house of God. We talk about, I'm going to God's house, right? This is God's house. And we call it God's house, and we understand what we're saying. It's God's house because God's people are in it. The children of God. The family of God. The household of faith. And so we could talk about a family that is that house. We could talk about a nation being that house. We could talk about the church being that house. We could look at it many different ways, but I believe that Jesus in this sermon is talking about a person. I believe he's talking about its representation of one's personal life. That's what I believe Jesus is talking about. I think he's talking about, I have my house, right? The Bible actually talks about that we're the tabernacle, you know, if this tabernacle, and it references our body as a house, right? And so I think that's what Jesus is talking about. But I don't think we'd be doing any harm to the Scriptures if we were to preach it as tonight as the family. If we were to preach it tonight as our nation. Our families need what I'm going to preach tonight. Our nation needs what I'm going to preach tonight. There was a time when this nation was a much greater nation, and it's because this nation was founded on the right things. But can I tell you tonight, as I stand before you, this nation is on sand. It's frightening. But we could look at it as a family. We could look at it as a nation. We could look at it as a church. And a church ought to be founded on the rock. Jesus said, I will build my church. He said, upon this rock. That's what he told Peter. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And that's what the church should be built upon, a rock. But in context of the Scripture, in context of all that Jesus has been preaching, I don't believe he's talking about any of those things. I believe he's talking about a person, individual life. He says, look at verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him, not them, I will liken him unto a wise man, singular, him, man, not men. I believe Jesus is talking about our individual lives as a house. Something that's interesting about this house here is that I believe what Jesus is inferring here is that the two houses are very similar. He doesn't say that there's a lot of differences in these houses. I think he almost kind of just alludes to the fact, just it's almost as if I'm looking for the right word, but as if they're supposed to just understand. The understood statement here is that these houses looked a lot the same. You know, if you look at you can ride through a neighborhood, even in our country today, you can ride through a neighborhood and you can look at the houses and you can probably tell when that neighborhood was built. All the houses on Main Street and Culpeper, they look very similar. Some taken a little better taken care of than others, but the style of the house, the way that it was built, the structure, it's very similar. You go through some neighborhoods and it's all brick ranch style houses. You go through some neighborhoods and it's the colonial style, old school houses, and then you go around today and you can look at a house even today and you can kind of see whether it's a newer modern house. Those of you that have built a house, we built a house a couple years ago, and we were looking at house plans, and they have modern homes, modern farmhouse, and so you can tell a lot about a house, even by where it's at. I haven't been to Europe, but the homes in Europe look a little different than the homes in America. The homes in Peru, where James grew up, look a little different than the home he lives in today, right? Yeah. But when we were in Honduras, can I tell you, we went on a mission trip to Honduras, and when we were in Honduras and we were going through some of those villages, a lot of the houses looked the same. And so I believe Jesus is kind of one, that's just the understood statement here. He says that both of these men built a house, and possibly that house was in the same neighborhood. I think he kind of teaches that by the fact that they both got hit by the same storm. So they had to be somewhere near each other. I think he's just saying these two houses are kind of in the same neighborhood, possibly maybe not just next door. Maybe they're neighbors. But maybe they're just in the same county. I don't know. But he says these two houses, both these men built a house, and these two houses are very similar. And from the outside, they look a lot the same. Can I tell you, that's been the message the entire Sermon on the Mount. That's what he's been saying to these people. You've got the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, you see what they are. You can see the outside, but what's important is what's on the inside, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to understand the comparisons of these two houses. They're very similar. They're very alike. I believe that's what Jesus is saying. Number two, not only does he mention their house, but he mentions their hearing. Look at verse number 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth, you see it? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Verse 26 says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. So both of these men heard the same thing. You with me? I believe that Jesus is really, he's closing out this sermon that he's been preaching, and he's saying, there's two groups of people here. Every one of you have heard what I said. The wise has heard what I said, and the foolish have heard what I said. Everybody has heard what I said. And so we see the similarities. Their houses are very much the same. But not only that, their hearing was the same. I believe Jesus is addressing everyone that was there listening to him that day. And so he said their houses were the same. Their hearing was the same. Look at this. Their hardship, or I'm going to say this, some people believe it was this, a hurricane was the same. Look at verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And look at verse 25, it says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. I don't know if it was a hurricane, but I know this, it was a hardship. The Bible says in verse 25 that the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat upon that
house. Look at verse number 27. It says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. You see the comparison here? He's saying we've got two houses. I think they're very much the same looking. They look alike. They were built at the same time, possibly built in the same neighborhood. We've got two people. They heard the same thing. They both heard the message, the preaching, the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, and they both went through this hardship. They both went through this hurricane. I thought it was interesting. One man, I don't know if this is so, but I think it's interesting. One man that I read after said this. He said that the rains that descended could represent the storms that God sent. They come from above. He said the winds that blew could represent the storms that represent the world. You know, the Bible talks about this world. It's just sometimes you just feel like the world is just coming in on you, right? Some of you probably feel that way now. I know I do. Vacation Bible school's coming up this week and all that's going on, and you just feel like, man, the world is just, it's just, woo, the wind's blowing. Sometimes the rain's falling, and it could be that God will send, you know, God sends the rain sometimes. God will send the storm. Sometimes it's to correct us. Sometimes it's to perfect us. But God sends storms. And so the rains, they came from above. The wind came from around. And then it says that the flood, it talks about the floods came, and that came from underneath. The floods rise up, right? And that could be the hardship that comes from Satan. So it's as if he just covered all of his bases here. There's hardship that comes from above. There's hardships that come from around, and there's hardships that come from below. But they're just coming at us from every angle. And both of these people are facing those hardships. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And so there's a lot of comparisons here. Jesus wants us to know that these two men, this wise man and this foolish man, were very similar to one another. And I think it applies to all that he's been preaching. Because he's been trying to get them to understand some things. And if you look at the outside sometimes, everybody kind of looks the same. Especially in the church or in a culture, it's as if you were looking from the inside, looking from the outside in. It's as if they're very similar, a little different here and there, but for the most part, they're the same. As I look across this auditorium tonight, very similar situations, come from different backgrounds, but a lot of the same things, a lot of the same likes, living the same life. We're all in church on a Sunday night. Many of us will be at Vacation Bible School this week. Many testimonies are alike with a little bit of differences. So Jesus is comparing these two. So number one, we see the comparison. Number two, I want to see this and I'm going to be done, the contrast. Though there is some comparisons here, these two people, these two men that built these two houses, and they are very similar in some ways. There are some things that are much alike with these two, but can I tell you there's some things that are not alike? There's some contrast here instead of comparison. So I want to give you the contrast real quick, and then I'll be done. Number one, the contrast are this: they're heeding. They're heeding. Look at verse number 25 again. Well, verse 24, I'm sorry. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You see that? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You say, what does heeding mean? It means to do. To do what you've been told to do. You would heed to that. And this man, he heeded to what Jesus said. This man in verse number 24 was heeding. He was not just hearing, but he was heeding unto what Jesus said. But look at verse number 26. It says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. He didn't heed to what Jesus said. And so we see the comparisons of their house, right? We see the comparisons of their hardship. We see the comparisons of their hearing. But now we see the contrast of their heeding. One man did what Jesus said, and the other man did not. Can I tell you, that's what we've got here tonight. We've got a group of people here tonight, and some, I hope most, are doing
what Jesus says do, but possibly there's some here tonight that are just hearing what Jesus says do. James said it like this. He said, but be ye doers of the word. Are you listening, young people? This is important. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, it's not what we know. It's not what we hear. It's what do we do with what we hear. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough just to hear the preaching. It's not enough just to hear the teaching. We've got to apply it to our lives. Ephesians 2:10 says this. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now you know, Ephesians, I want to say this real quick. We would use Ephesians 2:8 and 9 as a champion of salvation by grace. And I believe in salvation by grace. And people that believe in a work salvation, which many people will try to teach from the section of scripture that I'm teaching on, this whole chapter number 7, a lot of work salvation are taught out of these verses of scripture. All this doeth, and even when Jesus said what we looked at last week, there's a lot of people that teach a work salvation out of these verses of scripture, but that's not what the Bible teaches. But the Bible does teach this, a salvation that works. A salvation that works. See, 2:8-9, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, it's not by works that you get saved. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. But guess what? Ephesians 2:10 says, we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So he says, you don't get saved by works, but you get saved, you will work. That is a teaching of the Bible, and I believe that's what Jesus is teaching right here. A salvation will go to work. James talked about it. I think I mentioned it last week. James talked about it in James chapter number 2. He said, you show me your faith. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. He said, I'll show you thee my faith by my works. James wasn't saying you work to be saved. He said, no, when you get saved, it goes to work. And I believe that's what Jesus is. He's closing out the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying there's two types of people here. There's people that hear what I say, but it doesn't affect their lives. And then there's people that have heard what I say, and it affects their lives. They do what I say. And so we see they're heeding how they went to work. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, if we love God, we're going to keep His commandments. Now, that doesn't mean sinless perfection. We know better than that. But if you get saved by the grace of God, it is going to affect the way you live your life. And I believe that's what Jesus is teaching here. And so we see they're heeding. Number two, I want to say this about the contrast of the man. We see they're heeding, but we see also they're hidden. What was hidden? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I think it's the main point of the entire message. Look at verse number 24 again. He says, therefore, so whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, look at this, which built his house upon a rock. That's hidden. You know, that's something that I don't think you could see. Now, you in our day, if you look at a house, a lot of times, you can see the foundation. You can see the cinder blocks, or you can see the poured walls. You can see what that house is built upon. But I don't believe that's what this is talking about, because if you read over in Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 48, Jesus gives this same story, I believe, at a different time. I don't believe it's the same as the Sermon on the Mount. It might be the same message, but I believe it was preached at a different time. But you know what he says in that passage? And it's very similar to this passage. He just adds a little bit extra. He says that man dig deep and laid the foundation. So he gives us the teaching that it's not as if he brought in a bunch of rocks and built that foundation upon all those rocks. No, he dig deep and found rock and built his house upon that. So you couldn't see that rock. It was under the ground. And then that other man, he said, that foolish man, he built his house upon the sand. From the outside, the houses looked the same.
You wouldn't know the difference if you were riding through the neighborhood and I were to ask you which house is built on a rock and which house is built on the sand. It's as if Jesus is saying, you won't know until. Now, Jesus knows. But it's as if he's trying to get us to understand, you won't know. He's been saying that the entire Sermon on the Mount. From the very beginning of the sermon, we talked about the Beatitudes. You know what Jesus was talking about? He was talking about that inner man. Do you remember? Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Right? Blessed are, he's going through all these things that are inner things. And in the entire Sermon on the Mount, after he went through the Beatitudes and he talked about those Beatitudes, then he went into the law and he talked about not committing adultery and not committing murder. And do you remember what he talked about? He talked about the heart. He talked about that it's to lust after a woman is to commit adultery in the heart. You remember all that? He talked about murder. He talked about hatred. The whole sermon, Jesus has been saying, you look at the outside. You're seeing what's on the outside. You see the adultery. You see the murder. But do you see the heart? And then he talks about prayer, and he says those Pharisees, they go into the temple, and they lift up these great, you know, poetic prayers, and they want everybody to hear them pray, and they want everybody to see them give, and they want everybody to know they're fasting. And you know what Jesus said? He said, you go into a closet and pray. You wash your face when you fast. You don't tell your right hand what your left hand's doing when you give, because Jesus is trying to get us to understand in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not about what's on the inside, it's what's on the inside. I mean, it's not about what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside that matters. And that foundation, I believe, represents the inside. What are we building our lives on? What is our heart built upon? Now, I understand there's a lot of things we could talk about this foundation. That foundation, I believe, is Christ. The Bible teaches over and over, there's no other foundation laid than that that's been laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He's our rock. He's that one that Ryan said that he picked us up out of the miry clay and he set our feet upon a rock. No doubt Jesus is that foundation. I believe you could go even further than that. He said, these sayings of mine, it could be that Jesus is not even saying here in this message that he is the foundation. That he is the rock. He's saying, my word is. That's what he said. Whosoever doeth these sayings of mine, I will like him unto a man that's built his house on a rock. When Pastor was preaching this morning, I knew what I was preaching tonight, and I was thinking, that's it. It's the word of God. Are we building our lives on the word of God? We opened up tonight, standing on the promises. You know what those promises are? They're the rock. They're the foundation that's going to stand when the storms come. They're the foundation that's going to stand when hardship comes. They're the foundation that's going to stand when God sends the storm from above, or when the world comes caving in, or the devil starts flooding up. No matter what comes our way, we can stand on the Word of God. The foundation is the Word of God. I mean, you could even say, Pastor mentioned this morning, the church. You know what he said in Timothy, right? He said that it's the pillar and ground of truth. Talking about the church. Said it's the pillar and the ground of truth. So what are we building our lives on? Now, you're here on a Sunday night. I believe you're building your house on that. Obviously, you're in church. Obviously, most of you have a Bible in front of you. Hopefully, you're building your house upon that Bible. Hopefully, you're building your house upon Christ. But can I tell you, this is what Jesus is teaching. You can't tell. You can't see it. It's hidden. I don't know what your foundation is. I don't know what you're building your life upon. Now, I do believe there's some evidences of it. And he's covered them. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. See, when we're really building our lives on Christ, building our lives on his commandments, building our lives on the church, when we're building our lives on the solid foundation, it's going to show up by what we do. And see, I'm afraid there's a lot of people in churches today, and I don't think there's a whole lot in this church. I sure hope not. But can I tell you, across the greater church in the world today, there are a lot of people, they're hearing the sayings of God, but they're not doing them. And there could be some folks in this building tonight. You can memorize the verses. You could stand up and quote some promises. But it's not whether you can quote them. Do you live by them? God really spoke to my heart this week. I don't just want to, sometimes if I'm not careful, I study the Bible to find a sermon. And it was as if God was telling me, this isn't something that you use to perform. This book right here is to change. This book right here is to change our lives. And these two men both heard it. Both had a house that looked very similar. Both had the hurricane or the hardship. But the difference in these two men is one man was heeding the word of God and doing what it said, and the other wasn't. And one man, he had a hidden foundation that could not be seen, but it was standing. He was standing on the rock. And then last, and I'm done, we see their heeding. We see what was hidden, and then we see their hope. Look at verse number 25. It says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 27 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we see some comparisons. Their house, their hardship, their hearings, they were very much the same. But we see some contrast. One heeded, one didn't. One had a hidden foundation, one didn't. One had hope, one didn't. Can I ask you tonight, what are you standing on? I believe that's what Jesus has been preaching the entire Sermon on the Mount. He's been telling these people, there's two types of people in this world. And sometimes you can't tell them apart. The scribes and the Pharisees, they look it real good. But he said, unless your righteousness exceed that of the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you don't have something in your heart, if you're not building on something deep that nobody else can see but God, you're missing it. So what are you building on tonight? I'm going to close with this. If you would, take your hymn book. I almost said your Bible. You can close your Bible. Take your hymn book. I don't have one. I think it's 125. How about, can y'all sing it, Pastor Brandon? We'll do it by way of invitation. How about that? I'm done. Can you sing hymn 125? Emily, can you play that? I'm putting them on the spot here, but okay. We'll sing this by way of invitation. You can stand to your feet if you would. I thought about this as I was finishing out my message. I thought my last point, hope. One man had hope. No matter what came, no matter what storms, no matter what trials, no matter the rain, the flood, the wind, he had hope. I heard one man use this illustration. I thought it was good. I almost went to the Walmart yesterday and bought one. I looked it up online. They had them. How many of you have ever had one of those inflatable punching bags when you were a kid? You know what I'm talking about? They had like a X-Men. Now, the rest of y'all didn't. I don't know what's going on with this bunch here, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about? One of them inflatable punching bags. You know what I mean? You hit it, boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they got. Man was talking about this passage of scripture, and he said, it's like that inflatable punching bag you had when you was a kid. And I almost went and got one. I thought, man, that'd be a great illustration. I'd punch that thing up here. And you know what it would do? It would boom, 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 boom. Hit it again. Boom, 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 boom. Bing. I'm embarrassing you, aren't I? That's okay. I told them get used to it. And I howled the other week. My kids were so embarrassed. And I said, if that's embarrassing, y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, you got a long road to go, okay? Because I'm getting more embarrassing the older I get. I can just tell you, my care is breaking. And so it's just, yeah. But you know why that happens? Because that thing's got a foundation. Something heavy in the bottom of that inflatable that every time it falls, at the end of it is, ding. Can I tell you, a Christian? It's like that.
The winds will blow. The rain will fall. The flood will come. But if you're standing on Christ, boom, 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 bing. The world don't have that. Two types of people in the world. Some can take the storms, some can't. I'll tell you this, I sure am glad. Brian, I'm glad he picked me up out of the miry clay and he set my feet on a rock. And if you're saved tonight, you're standing on a rock. And I tell you, that rock is steadfast and sure. We ought to just praise him for it. Let's sing that song in way of closing tonight and then Pastor, you come.